Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's July 10th, 2020 program, BEST, Relationships and Creative Problem Solving. This is the 38th program for our 2019-20 programming year. My name is Scott Coltrane and I'm the City Club President. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. We have both business and in-kind sponsors, including our diamond sponsors. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the communities we serve. More information at www.kp.org. Support comes from the University of Oregon. Since 1876, UO has helped Oregonians question critically, think logically, reason effectively, communicate clearly, act creatively, and live ethically. More information at uoregon.edu. Peace Health is proud to serve Eugene, Lane County, and beyond. As your hometown healthcare partner for more than 80 years, our mission is to keep you and your family healthy. Learn more at peacehealth.org. Lane Community College transforms lives through learning. It provides comprehensive, accessible, high-quality educational opportunities that promote student success. For more information, visit lanecc.edu. We would also like to acknowledge the generous support from the City of Eugene and from Lane County. On to today's program, forging new cooperative relationships and fostering creative problem solving are central to City Club's mission. The BEST after-school program is one of Eugene's premier examples of meeting challenges by forging new cooperative relationships. And the coronavirus provided opportunities for even more than the usual amount of creative problem solving. 15 local institutions partner with Eugene 4J School District to offer after-school enrichment to students who need it most. The institutions include Kids Sports, the University of Oregon, the Eugene Symphony, the Dance Factory, the School Garden Project, Little Hands Can, Peace Jam, Gannis, Junior Achievement, the Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestra. The North Eugene Robotics Division, Connected Lane County, Looking Glass, the OSU Extension, the City of Eugene, and the Eugene Family YMCA. In this program, we will hear from five of these community partners who help schools achieve their core mission, academic excellence, while sustaining each institution's individual mission. I would like to thank Mary Layton, former City Club President, for coordinating today's program. Coordinator Mary Layton will introduce the program. Then you'll hear from Molly LaJoy, BEST Program Director, Holly Spencer, Executive Director of the Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestras, Mindy Bell, Executive Director of the School Garden Project, Kathy Visdahl, Education and Community Engagement Director of the Eugene Symphony Association, Holly Chris Anderson, Vice President of the Eugene Family YMCA, and Ethan Wing, Recreation Section Manager of the City of Eugene. Mary, we'll begin with you.
Today, we're going to hear how the BEST program at Eugene School District 4J operates and what it achieves. It's a good story about work well done. Under ordinary conditions, after-school programs are of special interest mostly to parents of school-aged children. However, for those of us without kids in school, this after-school story also illustrates three ideas that apply in many settings: collective impact, evidence-based practice, and skill in pivoting. Collective impact is a powerful collaborative model with five defining conditions. First, the collaborators have a common agenda. In BEST, 15 community partners collaborate over activities in the space where their missions overlap, and they have a shared agenda for these activities. Second, the collaborators agree on how success is measured. BEST partners agree on the central importance of student learning and school attendance. They know that they've done well when students' achievement scores and attendance rates go up. Third, they engage in mutually reinforcing activities. Partners organize the content and sequence of their work so that it reinforces the content of other activities. The garden work feeds into science lessons. Music lessons feed into the symphony experiences. Each part of the program nurtures interest and skill in the other parts. Fourth, the partners have continuous communication with other partners and with school staff to keep the program rolling along smoothly, allowing each partner to take advantage of the lessons of the others and accommodate occasional interruptions in service. Finally, they have backbone support, a staff dedicated to the initiative. A special office in the school district coordinates all of the offerings, maintains the collective focus, resolves technical issues, and reports outcomes to stakeholders. Karen Knutson, one of the City Club's Turtle Award winners, speaks of the work of Better Housing Together as a collective impact project. We have begun to think of public safety as work best done collectively and not assigned solely to the police department. It's an area on which we mostly agree on the component parts and could probably find a fairly obvious way to measure. What would a collective impact project focused on public safety look like if we put our heads together? For best, we can learn what this kind of very focused working together can accomplish. Evidence-based practice simply means using the wisdom of others who have learned from experience to design your own program. In a previous life, one of my assignments was evaluating after-school programs. In national studies, we found that effective programs have several essential components. BEST has all of them. Kids are engaged in learning. Because of the homework help component, they come to school better prepared for lessons. Because of the relationships and cool activities, they stay for the after-school program because they love it. They get enrichment, not just the basics, but the stuff that helps kids to flourish: music, art, gardening, games, and lots of food. And they meet people and have experiences that open up their dreams of future life, developing the confidence to attempt new things and more ideas about work in the adult world. What has been impressive to me as a longtime member of the BEST Advisory Board is how the partners have produced a stable, productive, rewarding experience for students, despite variations that would daunt most of us. The federal funding comes and goes. The local resources ebb and flow according to sometimes unpredictable changes in the economy. New organizations emerge and step up to help. Long-standing partners tune up their acts and offer ever better support. But for 19 years, the leaders of BEST have been assembling scattered resources, weaving them into coherent programs that vary by school, and providing evidence of excellent outcomes year after year. The project we will learn about targets mostly the kids who most need help, but we all know that children from very many other families would find this opportunity irresistible if it were open to all. And for those whose interests lie not in school, but in the world of work, research tells us that 3/4 of the parents whose kids are in good school after-school programs report more productivity at their own jobs. Finally, you're going to hear about some seriously talented pivoting. Every one of the BEST partners built their activities around face-to-face encounters with kids. But dance and basketball are not online activities. How do you garden without actual dirt? Most of the speakers will talk about very creative problem solving, the kind that kept us all going when our world closed down. It was hearing the BEST partners speak of these changes that made me want to share their news with you. Holly Spencer has seen the Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestras through many challenging times. Wait until you hear how they continued to help kids learn strings, even without in-person lessons. Those of us who belong to Eugene Symphony Association should be proud of how nimbly this group responded. Normally, the hands-on part of the symphony program doesn't start until spring, when kids begin to get ready to play along right up there on the stage with the professional musicians. This year, that couldn't happen. but Katie Vizdal will tell you what they did instead. Mindy Bell's team in the school garden project learned how to lead gardening activities on 3 different digital platforms to reach kids in all the schools where they have gardens. Holly Chris Anderson at the Y already had her hands full managing operations, including the team that served in best schools. When the pandemic hit, she had to figure out how to do all that and add all the in-person programs needed for the children of essential workers who could no longer be covered by the regular programs. And every bit of the work had to be done while following the guidelines to limit contagion. Ethan Wing will tell a different story. In a collective impact effort, most partners have different core missions, and those missions get first priority in emergencies. Normally, city recreation workers form a key part of the best staff at several schools, extending the work they do in parks and rec centers. But city services expanded quite substantially this spring, and all hands were required to be on deck to serve that primary mission. Ethan will explain what his staff in the recreation service area used to do it best and how their pivot took them back to essential city services. Now you'll hear from Molly LaJoy. She has been Eugene Forget's best after-school program for 5 years and has also worked in Springfield and Bethel. Among the many roles she has played in her 25 years in education are speech and language pathologist and school principal. She also served as the executive director of the Eugene Education Foundation. Molly will explain how the BEST program normally operates and, after schools closed this spring, how they continued to meet the academic and social-emotional learning needs of students in 5 schools. Molly?
So what does BEST stand for? BEST stands for Boosting and Enriching Students Today. BEST started as a joint endeavor in 2000 with Bethel, Eugene, Springfield school districts and was previously known as Bethel, Eugene, Springfield Together. Since then, grant requirements have changed and required school districts to apply for funds individually. Eugene has continued the program ever since that beginning. So BEST is funded through a highly competitive, we're one of 24 in the state, 21st Century Community Learning Center grants. The grant cycle funds the program for up to 5 years, and we're in the 2018 to 2023 cycle. And the 21st CCLC initiative is the only federal funding source dedicated exclusively to before school, after school, and summer learning programs. Each state education agency receives funds based on its share of Title I funding for low-income students in high-poverty, low-performing schools. BEST also receives Title I funding from the district to support interventions in reading and math. In the 2019-20 school year, we served roughly 400 students in 6 schools. We're in 4 elementary programs, Cesar Chavez, McCormick, River Road, El Camino del Rio, and Howard Elementary, and 2 middle schools, Kelly and Madison. Students are invited at the elementary program to participate in the after-school program based on their demonstrated academic need. Each BEST school's Title I coordinator, data team, and special education teachers identify and recruit the following individuals. We look at students who score below the 25th percentile in reading or math using easy CBM assessments. We look at English learning students at each BEST school and students with disability or academic behavior, social needs, including students on IEPs. And we also look at identified homeless students with the help of our McKinney-Vento program. Teachers also can refer students who need a safe place to be after school. At our middle school sites, middle school BEST programs are open to the entire student body. Students and parents self-select participation, with some students referred by teachers and staff for participation, especially around completing homework. Our BEST program meets September through June. We're a 4-day-a-week program, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. At our elementary sites, they meet for 3 hours after school. And at our middle school sites, we meet for 1 hour before school for homework help, and then 2 hours after school. What does a typical BEST day look like? In our elementary program, students come after school to the cafeteria to drop off their backpacks, connect with friends and staff, and get a healthy snack. Half the students then transition into small academic intervention groups focused on math and reading with instructors who are hired and trained by the school district and who collaborate with regular school day teachers to personalize instruction based on individual students' needs. The other half transition into enrichment classes led by community partners who bring their special expertise and inspiration. Students participate in outdoor physical play and community time. Then they flip-flop. In the final hour, students get a hot supper meal, recess, and then those who need it, a bus ride home. At the middle school, students again start in the cafeteria, but they start with a hot supper meal. Then they transition to spend 45 minutes in a homework club where a teacher is available to assist them. Students then have a variety of enrichment courses to choose from that are designed to help students build skills and discover areas of interest they may want to pursue in high school, post-secondary study, or their careers. Transportation home is also available. Our classes rotate every 5 weeks, offering all best students a variety of enrichment class options. Classes are planned from student interests that focus on STEAM and project-based learning. Each best staff site consists of a site coordinator, educational assistants that stay on to teach after school, an academic coordinator that supervises the small group interventions, recreation staff from our community partner, and U of O work-study tutors with federal work-study awards. Many of our tutors stay in our program through all 4 years of college, and some even change their majors into education after their work experience in our program. We had one young man that started out attending one of our best programs when he himself was a student in elementary and middle school. He came to work in our program as a U of O work-study tutor, and after graduation from college, he then worked as an EA in our program and is now a teacher at one of our high schools. He shared the importance of this program with him in helping his achievement, how his family was not able to help with homework, but he knew that he had a safe place for help after school. He often shared this story with his students as a mentor and a role model to motivate them to work hard. BEST is supported by numerous community partnerships that offer students exposure to content experts and mentorship relationships. BEST currently has over 20 community partners that provide high-quality services to our students. We rely on the program's strong existing network of community partners and seek new partners who are committed to the goal of elevating our city's overall well-being through services that support our most at-risk children. So how did the BEST program change with COVID-19? Well, during the last few months of this school year, the 2020 pandemic shuttered schools and we all shifted and adapted to online learning. Despite the many school closure challenges, we as a district and as a program rallied to support students and their learning. Once students navigated learning with their electronic devices and developed a routine with their teachers, BEST came in to provide additional support with additional out-of-school time activities and resources. We listened to schools and provided phone calls to reach out to students not engaged in their online learning. BEST staff helped to problem solve technology and access issues. Our staff was engaged in their own professional learning, were collaborative, and stepped up with creative suggestions to inspire and interact with students. We missed seeing our students in person, and we were worried about those that were not interacting with digital learning. The new digital learning module BEST created provided more open-ended opportunities for the BEST After School program. The BEST After School distance learning module included three forms of educational learning opportunities. Number one, we had Zoom meetings with students that were held twice a week to check in and build community and assist with school assignments. Number two, our site coordinators interacted with students on Seesaw or Google Classroom accounts. And we also offered new enrichment choice board activities that were provided each week, which offered a variety of optional activities, including STEM, fitness, art, and life skills for home learning. When students participated in any of the activities from our choice boards, They were asked to send a quick message, a video, or a drawing of their activities of choice. BEST tried to embed as many of our partner offerings into our weekly choice boards, so students continued to receive a variety of offerings. As well, BEST was able to support our partner contracts for the rest of the year. The last thing we did this spring was, in collaboration with our eWeb grant in the district, the YMCA, and Eugene Education Foundation, every elementary student in BEST received an at-home learning supply bag. YMCA and BEST provided supplies to make 4 at-home learning activities, and then eWeb provided a drawstring bag, which included a hand lens, ruler, bug jar, do-it-yourself birdhouse, watercolor, paint trays, all sorts of art supplies. BEST provided notebooks, pencils, crayons, colored pencils, sidewalk chalk, jump rope, scissors, and food coloring. And EEF supplied a book for each student. These supply bags provided at-home learning activities that can be performed well into the fall, while supporting our students while they continue some sort of form of online learning. BEST program staff performed car parades to distribute their supplies and checked in with students. At Kelly Middle School this spring, staff engaged students in Zoom meetings with cooking sessions. Recipes were selected with common ingredients that could be found at home, posted the day before, and invited students to make the recipes together in a live meeting. They had great participation. Some of the students that were the most difficult to engage in person were the most engaged and most regular attendees in our virtual sessions. At the end of the session this spring, we made a Kelly BEST cookbook comprised of recipes shared during the cooking sessions and shared by students, families, and staff. These cookbooks were delivered to BEST students in a farewell "We Miss You" car parade with staff from the BEST program and school staff. Now you'll hear from Holly Spencer, the executive director of the Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestras, a group that has provided music for City Club special events on several occasions. A clarinet performance major in college, Holly has 25 years of experience in nonprofit management. She has associated with ESYO since her own kids were part of the youth orchestras. Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestra has been a partner in BEST for over 8 years.
Hi, I'm Holly Spencer, Executive Director of Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestras. Our mission is to provide opportunities for youth to experience, appreciate, and perform orchestral music. And for many young children, that begins with our String Academy program. 25 years ago, we created a partnership with the 4J School District when they were no longer able to offer beginning strings to elementary students. We then joined with the BEST after-school enrichment program to give even more children the chance to learn violin, viola, cello, or bass. ESYO is the only organization that provides affordable, accessible weekly strings classes to a growing number of future musicians. This year, reaching 135 students in 7 different schools. Our scholarship program allows any family to participate, and thanks to the BEST program, the classes are free at River Road El Camino del Rio, Howard, and McCornack. We distribute materials in both English and Spanish, and because these classes take place on-site, parents don't have to worry about transportation. And we provide the instruments. Our inventory of half and three-quarter size stringed instruments gives each student the right size for success. The rental fee for BEST program students is just $60 for the whole year, but we have scholarships for those that need one. We work with the principals, music teachers, and the BEST coordinators at each school to arrange classes for 4th and 5th graders, and this year we invited 3rd graders for the first time. We start with music fundamentals and parts of the instrument, and then comes instrument handout day. Many of our teachers say it's their favorite day of the year, and I have been there many times on that day. It's truly a wonderful sight when they first open their cases. They can't believe they could ever learn to play such a complicated-looking instrument. Yet after just a few months, they are ready for their first concert, and by the end of the year, they've learned over 100 songs, and their confidence and pride comes shining through as they perform with all of the other classes in one big orchestra. But this spring, we were faced, like everyone else, with the coronavirus pandemic. With schools closed, we needed to switch to online strings instruction for our students. They all still had their instruments and their books at home, and we reached out to families to assure them that String Academy would continue. We met as a team and created a plan to send weekly lessons by email and accompany them with video lessons produced by the teachers and shared through our YouTube channel. And we had some unanticipated benefits to this system. We realized students could not only stay connected with their own teacher, but could watch the other teachers too, each with their own engaging style. They also created tuning videos, which is an important skill for playing at home. Another benefit was that parents could learn along with them while watching how their child progresses. And we asked students if they'd like to share their own video to put on YouTube, which helped inspire others. Along with the lessons, we created a special String Academy folder with our own modifications of fun songs like Star Wars, Pink Panther, and Harry Potter. We extended how long students could keep their instruments so that they could go back and practice parts of the lessons and play songs along with their teacher. And we reduced the cost of renting an instrument for the summer so to encourage students to keep on playing. Finally, knowing we couldn't have a formal concert, we still wanted to end the season on a positive note and celebrate all they had accomplished. So we arranged virtual concerts over Zoom for each class and invited parents to join us. Students played their favorite song or shared what they liked about the classes or the videos. Many students were very excited to join in, and it was good for them to see their String Academy classmates again. As we all know, playing music can be a welcome relief from anxiety and stress, and we hope this helped families cope during this upsetting time. For next year, regardless of the situation, we're prepared to conduct a program that combines in-person classes whenever possible with smaller groups if necessary, and a full library of videos covering every lesson. In fact, we're excited about the possibility of reaching even more children this way, and we'll work with the BEST program to offer this to families in other BEST schools. We gave all the students a chance to take strings next year again if they would like, or if they feel ready to move on, we have a second year ensemble as the next step in both the North and South regions of town. ESYO's String Academy puts instruments into the hands of children who are eager to play, but may not otherwise have the chance. Learning a musical instrument provides a wealth of benefits to a child's development, and we offer greater accessibility for families throughout the community, giving a diverse population the opportunity to take part in this valuable experience. I want to thank City Club for presenting this program, the 4J School District, the staff of the schools we work with, and Molly LaJoy and all of the BEST staff for allowing us to start so many children on a path toward the joy of making music in this special way. Thank you. Next, you'll hear from Mindy Bell. Mindy has been the executive director of the School Garden Project since 2018. Her background is in business financial management, but she followed her passion for the natural world into nonprofit work. Now she helps schools develop gardens where students grow food to eat and learn standards-based science.
Hi, thank you so much for the lovely introduction and the opportunity to speak regarding School Garden Project of Lane County and our partnership with the 4J BEST After School Program. School Garden Project of Lane County began as a small grassroots organization in 2001, where we partnered with two local elementary schools to assist them in developing their on-site school gardens. Over the past 19 years, we've increased our partnerships to include 24 elementary and middle schools located throughout the 4J, Bethel, Springfield, and Junction City school districts. Last year, School Garden Project of Lane County served 1,388 children with our Science in the Garden programming. Our garden educators start each one of our lessons in the traditional classroom, and that's where we teach a science concept for the day. All of our curriculum meets next generation science standards. After our garden educator completes the science portion of our lesson, the children join our garden educator and our team of valuable volunteers out in their own school garden. When we get out to the garden, large classrooms suddenly are transformed into what we call small learning communities. Each one of our volunteers leads a team of anywhere from 5 to 10 students through our activity stations. Our activity stations include things such as how to use garden tools properly, how to plant and tend the vegetables in our garden. And I can say that last year we had a 100% success rate with our students actually watering the plants and not watering their neighbors. And trust me, when you're working with a group of 30 second graders, that is an accomplishment in and of itself. Our program also encourages children to be inquisitive. We found in our small learning communities that children have the opportunity to ask an adult a question. In other words, maybe they might be intimidated in a larger group, but in a smaller group of 5 to 6 children, they can ask their questions and their questions can be heard. Last but not least, another important portion of our program is that we encourage children to expand their palates and to try new fruits and vegetables. So at every class, every child has the opportunity and the option to taste fresh from their own garden a new fresh fruit or vegetable. When we have our children taste, however, we do ask them to approach it from the aspect of being a young scientist. In other words, if they taste something that they don't like, it's not okay to just say, yuck. They need to tell us what they don't like about that fruit or vegetable. Is it the texture? Is it too spicy? What specifically was it that they didn't care for with that particular item? Our program encourages children to go outdoors, to explore nature, to learn about gardening and where their food comes from, to also learn about science in a fun, hands-on way. However, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, School Garden Project of Lane County, like so many of us, has had to adapt. Upon the announcement of our partner school district's school closures last spring, we sent all of our team members video equipment to assist them in developing videos that during their time that they are sheltering in place. And I will say that the team was amazing about going on this big adventure that I suggested. And over the last several months, we have some YouTube channels that are beginning to appear. So through all of our efforts, the School Garden Project of Lane County's YouTube channel was born. Currently, we have a library of 15 videos that cover everything in topics from how to garden with small children, how to start your own home garden, gardening tips on how to get your produce to produce more, art and science activities for children to do on their own while they're sheltering in place. And we have a brand new category. One of our team members has elementary school age children, and they asked if they could make a video for School Garden Project. And of course we said yes. So the topic of their first video is answering that age-old burning question, why do dogs eat grass? So the children took their family dog, who's the star of the video, and it's titled affectionately, Penny Chooses Her Salad. So if you too would like to know the answer to why dogs eat grass, please join us on our School Garden Project of Lane County YouTube channel and become a subscriber. In addition to our videos, we also established some other community resources. Community members that are in need of gardening advice or gardening tips can email us at gardentips@schoolgardenproject.org. And we'll answer your questions or connect you to resources that can answer your questions. Also, children can reach out to us as well with their garden, science, and nature questions. Just go ahead and have them email us at kids@schoolgardenproject.org, and we'll attempt to answer their question or, once again, connect them with resources so that they can answer their own question. Who knows? Maybe one of your questions might be featured in one of our upcoming videos, so stay tuned. As we look forward to the upcoming school year, School Garden Project is in the process of refining our classroom curriculum so that it can be delivered virtually. Our garden educators are in the process of learning how to teach via three different virtual learning platforms so that we can support the children in all of our school districts. Our goal is to continue offering programming in a way that's interactive, whether we're on-site or off-site. We also are exploring options where we can live stream either from a school's on-site garden or perhaps maybe one of our garden educators' home gardens, so we can continue to demonstrate how to use garden tools, gardening skills, and also show the progression of plants that go from seed to harvest. School Garden Project of Lane County is also in the process of developing activity boxes that will mirror many of the current hands-on activities that support our science and healthy eating concepts from our gardening activities. Our goal is to be able to provide families and our teaching partners a resource to assist them in navigating the new big adventure that lies ahead for all of us. Thank you so much for lending me your ear. And I'd also like to introduce our next presenter. You'll hear from Katie. Katie leads the Eugene Symphony's work with the community. She formerly played a similar role in the Lane Arts Council. Her BA is in music history. Normally, the symphony's after-school activities don't start until spring, so the coronavirus posed a major challenge. Katie will explain the usual symphony program offered at BEST and how the symphony met the challenge of school closures.
The Eugene Symphony has been presenting a music program called Link Up in the 4J Best After School program since 2012. Link Up is an elementary music program through Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute that teaches students who are at the beginning of their musical journeys how to sing, how to play recorder, and about basic musical concepts. So we often get the question, why the recorder of all instruments? And it's pretty standard for teachers to introduce recorder when they're in elementary school, but it's a really accessible instrument, and the way the keys are laid out translate really well to other instruments. So when kids go on to band and orchestra programs, it's a good transition. Link Up is a program that we partner with elementary music teachers around the region, but what we do with the Best After School program is pretty special, because it's the only place where we're sending our musicians in to teach, and the participating students in the program are getting really specialized music instruction. The members of our orchestra are going into the classroom and working with small groups of students, and the students are getting a personal level of instruction that most kids that age wouldn't be getting otherwise. So in the program, the kids are working for weeks. They're learning different pieces on recorder, they're singing, as well as learning some dance choreography, which I can tell you our musicians love teaching that. And at the culminating event for all of this hard work is that these students are getting to perform on stage with the Eugene Symphony at a youth concert. And our youth concerts serve students from all over the region. And you can imagine the Holt Center, Silva Concert Hall, packed with what I lovingly call a sea of wiggling kids. And for many kids, it's the first time that they're ever seeing the Holt Center. It's the first time that they're ever seeing the symphony. And for many, it's the first time that they're ever leaving their hometown. So it's a pretty special experience. And, you know, the kids that have been participating in the Best After School program, they're kind of getting the green light and they're making their way straight to the stage. So they're just getting to go straight onto the stage and play along with professional musicians. And it's a pretty incredible experience to be performing on stage at such a young age. And it's just such a great celebration of the work that these kids have been putting in for the months leading up to this final performance. So unfortunately this year, due to COVID, we had to cancel our sessions the week before kids were ready to go to the Holt Center. And we were all really disappointed that we couldn't follow through with that aspect of the program, but we were really able to pivot. Our music director, Francesco Leche Chong, really stepped up. You know, when we learned that schools had to stop meeting in person, you know, that doesn't mean that people don't need music in their lives. You know, we know that people still need to be able to engage with music, and it enriches us. So Francesco really heard that call to action, and he started creating a weekly music education video series, which we're calling Musical Mondays. And they premiere each Monday at 10 on the Symphony's Facebook page and YouTube channel. And they're short music videos that kids and family members can watch and play along with. The kids who have their recorders at home can play along, or really any instrument that they have available. If there aren't any instruments, people can sing along too. And the first couple of videos really focus on featuring the songs from the Link Up program. And then it has evolved. So now Francesco may interview musicians from the symphony or other colleagues in the music industry. And each week we're learning something new. So you might catch Francesco introducing us to different instruments in the orchestra. And if you want a real treat, I recommend that you watch our Meet the Piano video, which features him playing. He's quite an incredible pianist, which he's incredibly modest about. But that's really how the Eugene Symphony has partnered with the Best After School program through our Link Up program, and how we were able to pivot during COVID. So next up, you'll hear from Holly Chris Anderson, the Vice President for Operations and Youth Development Director at the Eugene Family YMCA. She's in charge of after school programs that serve more than 750 children at 23 schools and 3 school districts during a typical school year. When coronavirus closed schools, Holly adapted the WISE program to accommodate. She also helped her team transition to offer free childcare to first responders, medical professionals, and essential workers in partnership with the city and local school districts. Holly started at the Eugene Family YMCA in 1999.
Good afternoon. I am honored to be among such an impressive group of community partners who have been working hard to engage our community's youth amid a global pandemic, a situation none of us have ever dealt with before. We are literally adapting and evolving at the same time as we continue to serve our community's youth. Before coronavirus closed our schools, the Eugene Family YMCA had a robust relationship with the BEST program. We partnered with BEST in 3 schools, providing enrichment activities at Howard, McCormick, and River Road. During the months that the schools were closed, our staff took a different approach. Staff attended specific trainings for supporting youth in social emotional learning, trauma-informed care, and program intentionality. Our YMCA staff helped lead enrichment activities via Zoom and filmed YouTube videos of games that can be played with their families. We also participated in a parade and delivered project supplies to each family. Getting to see their staff and receive a bag filled with items to help stimulate their minds put smiles on everyone's faces. In addition to our work with BEST, the Y provides after-school enrichment for 20 other schools, including 1 in Bethel and 3 in the South Lane School District. For the 19 years that I've worked at the Y, I've witnessed the long-lasting relationships that our youth development staff have built with families. We know these families and their children, and we do whatever we can to support and care for them. So when coronavirus closed our schools, we knew immediately that families would struggle. Not only would some of them lose their jobs or a part of their income, but many of them would be required to work without the safety insurance of having their kids in school. That's where the Y focused its attention. Hand in hand with the City of Eugene and the school districts of Eugene, 4J, Bethel, South Lane, and Springfield, the Y opened more than 250 free childcare spots for first responders and medical professionals. On April 1st, we expanded the programs to invite essential workers to enroll their children in childcare. Essential workers included those families who work in grocery stores, gas stations, and restaurants. Having never operated childcare during a global pandemic, we had to creatively adapt our games, lunch, snack breaks, and academic focus to better fit the circumstances. I'll give you a sense of what a typical day looks like. Youth development staff start each day at 6:30 a.m. with a thorough hand washing and a temperature check by health staff. A family member drop off their child after answering health questions and the children's temperature was taken. Family members were not permitted to be inside the programs. In the morning, they would put on gloves, sort Legos, markers, and other easily sanitized toys into paper boats, similar to the food containers that you would get from a food truck. Each child receives their own paper boat filled with toys, not to be shared with anyone else. When the children arrive, they each receive their own pool noodle for the day. The pool noodle was a creative way to keep kids 6 feet apart. The pool noodles were thoroughly disinfected each and every day, the same way we disinfected waterproof decks of Uno and other card games. The games and toys were kept with the same group of 10 to avoid cross-contamination. At each of our sites, we maintained separate group of protected kids. The groups and children were never in the same location. They headed to their own areas of the schools and would only see each other in hallways when walking to the gym, for example. When distance learning began, childcare staff helped students with their school's online learning, navigating different teachers' assignments, online learning platforms, and daily Zoom meetings. Obviously, keeping kids physically distanced was a significant challenge, and one that we couldn't have solved without using spaces in our local schools. Our protocols meant that a group of 10 sometimes only had 5 or 7 kids because we couldn't bring new kids in just for a week. We didn't want to expose the original group to a new kid with new germs. Another challenge for us was developing weeks upon week of full day care, a significant increase from our typical after school care or best after school program, which runs for 3 or 4 hours every day, or our spring break camp that runs for full days but only for a week. We have run summer camps for decades, but those tend to have focus themes for the week, lots of field trips, and outside water time. And I don't want to miss talking about the emotional challenge that our staff took on. In addition to the long hours, childcare staff arrived with smiles, energy, and extra patience, despite the grief and uncertainty they felt themselves. They fielded questions from kids that had no clear answers. Questions like, when can I hug my friend? What will summer camp be like? And will I go back to school in the fall? I was inspired and heartened by why childcare staff bonding with the children of our community's frontline workers and engaging them in learning and games that keep them physically and mentally happy. Obviously, I'm incredibly proud of our staff and how they stepped up to serve the community during this trying time. But it's a testament to the longstanding relationship we've had with the city, the school districts, and the families that allowed us to be a part of the solution to the coronavirus childcare crisis. Next up is Ethan Wing. Ethan manages the Youth and Family Recreation Services for the City of Eugene. When schools closed, the demand for different and new city services grew exponentially. Ethan will describe how his team pivoted in response to the needs of the community during COVID-19. For example, some recreation staff became the site managers of temporary encampments for the local unhoused community. He earned an MS in Recreation, Sports, and Tourism Administration.
The City of Eugene's Recreation Division, like all of our best program partners on this program, had to react swiftly during the onset of COVID-19. Our priority during this period has been to adjust our services to meet the existing, the new, and the changing demands of our local community. Those changes actually can be categorized in 4 distinct categories, primarily. That would be the support of the overall city response outside of the Recreation Division, focus on making digital content available, focus on making non-traditional, non-digital content available in a safe manner, and then beginning planning for a safe return to in-person programming, which is actually happening now. In regards to the support of the overall city response to COVID-19, about 35% of our division, or the Recreation Division's full-time employees were dedicated to the Emergency Operations Center for the city. And that means a lot of things. Those roles actually varied all the way from managing the finances to the logistics to assisting in the early remote teleconferencing and new file sharing systems that were being implemented on the fly. So I'm really proud of the efforts of those team members and our recreation staff and their diverse skill sets. 2 of our recreation staff mentioned earlier were actually managing the day-to-day operations of 3 temporary social distancing encampments for our local unhoused community. And those encampments were actually at our recreation facilities. So again, the flexibility is key here. The very onset, within a week of COVID-19 shutting many of our programs down, we opened up a emergency childcare site at South Eugene High School, which we then, about a month into, passed on to our friends over at the YMCA so that they could manage it as part of their more robust offerings throughout the community. The second distinct category of the sort of way we had to pivot during COVID is regarding our digital content. So as COVID came in, we realized people still need services. They still need to be connected. They still need to be active. They still need to be challenged and have those normal parts of life brought in whatever way they can, you know, receive them. So we went ahead and started to create live and recorded classes designed for preschool age and up, And these classes were anything from story time to fitness classes to mindfulness and meditation, which is needed now more than ever. And those things are still running, and we're going to continue to support those probably even post-COVID as we explore hybrid options moving forward. Our athletics programs successfully introduced esports programming, which had its own set of distinct challenges, but had robust registration numbers, and people just wanted to do something regarding sports. We had no professional sports. We had no amateur sports. So people wanted to get on and play FIFA soccer on the internet. So it was interesting. And then, you know, we also, recreation isn't just games and camps. We actually have a teen court program that has been successful for a number of years, which diverts youth out of the criminal justice system and into alternative methods for providing community service to pay back, you know, something that they've done. And we were able to fully transition within a couple of weeks, thanks to one of our staff, into a digital format and continue running those programs. So digital was one thing, but we also realized not everybody has equal access to digital methods for receiving these programs. So we also continued to offer sort of transitioned self-initiated programming. We had a 5K running initiative that had a lot of registration. We made thousands of phone calls to our patrons. Everyone that's registered for a program in the last year, we made phone calls to. And I'd like to introduce a little story, kind of go on a tangent and just mention our supervisor over at Peterson Barn, Billy Hernandez, made a phone call to a gentleman that participates in a lot of our older adult programming. And I know that I had heard the story and almost teared up. He called this person and they said they hadn't talked to anyone in over a week. And they were so thankful to have the check-in wellness call that it actually became an ongoing weekly phone call. And there's been a relationship developed there. And that's actually one example out of more than a handful that I can name. And I know there's more that I haven't heard about. So sometimes with all of this innovation that we're doing as we pivot, the good old phone call is all people need. So that is some of our sort of more analog interaction. And then we also have a lot of a large number of seniors that we're calling there too. And just for good measure, we have a jigsaw puzzle rental program, essentially a loaner program out of the Campbell Senior Center that people have been able to come pick them up at set times, so they're not having to interact with other people, and then they're sanitized appropriately. So that would be the third category. And then something I've been heavily involved in, not just as part of my team and my division, but as an individual, is the planning in return for more safe in-person programming and continued in-person programming. COVID-19 is not over. We all know that. And we don't know when it's going to be over, but we're operating in this weird new normal and a lot of other new normals after this. So we've been developing policy and procedure for ongoing programs. We've been implementing continued operations of camps and childcare and other recreation programs out of our sites, including emergency childcare that was operating out of three sites for the duration of the onset of COVID. We've been navigating budget constraints and planning for fall, looking at the school year and wondering how we can support our partners in the best programming. And then we're just trying to remain nimble in our childcare and our after-school services. So with all of that, I'm happy to transition this over to our best after-school program coordinator, Molly LaJoy.
You have had the opportunity to learn about the Eugene School District 4J Best After-School Program and hear from several of our community partners. You have learned that the Best After-School Program is an example of collective impact to support the most at-risk youth in six of our highest need schools. You have learned that in ordinary times, best measures and shows increase student achievement and attendance, nurture skill building and STEAM, physical fitness, and social emotional learning. Students' confidence and engagement in learning increases with participation in the Best After School program. You've heard how our best community was able to adapt and change during a pandemic when education was shifted to online learning. Learning continued, engagement continued, relationships and inspiration continued. We received the following message from a parent this past June. Dear staff, thank you so much for being a highlight to our daughter's digital homeschooling experience this spring. She talks more about making trolls, playing bingo, and connecting with you with so much gratitude. We so appreciate that you take the time to comment on her work. That means a lot to her because she works so hard, and it makes her feel good to know that her teachers recognize that. Also, thank you so much for bringing the goodie bag to our apartment. I was surprised, and my daughter was thrilled. Thank you so much for all of your support. So now, what does best look like for next year? No one knows exactly what schools will look like next year. The Oregon Department of Education has put out guidance for next year. Ready Schools, Safe Learners, Guidance for School Year 2020-21. We do know that we will follow and be a part of the planning for schools with Eugene School District 4J for next year. For our students who participate in in-person learning, we will have in-person after-school programming to support and augment that learning. For students in distance learning, I forecast a similar format to how we were able to pivot this spring. We learned a lot. We have gathered feedback on what worked and how we can improve. We are all in this together, and our students will continue to benefit with all of these unique and enriching opportunities to engage at-risk youth in our schools. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen about the best after-school program.
This has been our July 10th program, BEST, Relationships and Creative Problem Solving. Before we proceed, I'd like to recognize some gold sponsors: Homes for Good, Gatos Churnside and Balthrop PC, Evans Elder Brown and Subert, and our Sapphire sponsor, Summit Bank. Support for the City Club comes from Summit Bank, your local community bank. An independent community bank headquartered in Eugene, Summit Bank serves businesses and professionals in Eugene, Springfield, and Central Oregon communities. For more information, visit sbko.bank. It is our expectation to have the taped conversations available by Fridays at noon. We want to thank you all for supporting us during this difficult time. Before we thank our speakers today, there are a few quick announcements. Thank you to our in-kind sponsors, KRVM 91.9 Radio, PAC Info and Simplified Computing LLC, Dot Dotson's Photography, and Network Charter School. And a special thank you to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Mondays at 7 p.m. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County Cable Channel 29 for televising recent City Club programs. Next week, we will ask, should the citizens choose their legislators or the legislators choose their citizens? Every 10 years, after the results of the U.S. Census have been tallied, the boundaries of congressional, state, and local districts and wards must be redrawn to try to achieve the goal of one person, one vote. This process is more complicated than first meets the eye. Does the result seem to be unbiased? Can politics be taken out of the process? Please join us to hear about this on July 17th. More details and information about future programs can be found online at the City Club's website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now, I would like to thank today's speakers for a great program. Molly LaJoy from Eugene School District 4J BEST Coordinator, Holly Spencer, Executive Director, Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestra, Mindy Bell, Executive Director, School Garden Project of Lane County, Katie Visdahl, Education and Community Engagement Director, Eugene Symphony, Holly Kreese Anderson, VP of Operations for the Eugene Family YMCA, and Ethan Wing, Recreation Section Manager for the City of Eugene. Thank you all for your insightful contributions. This concludes today's program. Be well and stay safe.